You might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Jeremiah in chapter 23. And in our study of Jeremiah, we have proceeded down the corridor of time, and Jeremiah is all those different kings have failed to help the people of Israel. Jerusalem, Judah, and they have failed to do the job. So now, when you come to this part of history, Jeremiah is just, it's straight out. Israel is set their course, has set their course, and they are not going to look to God, and Nebuchadnezzar is going to level Jerusalem and the temple, burn the city. And they aren't in the interested in turning to God to stop that. And to boot, they don't believe that it really could happen. It really couldn't happen, could it? Or could it? And that's what the whole issue has been all these different years, different kings, same prophet, Jeremiah, but they just don't want to listen. So therefore, when we came to chapter 23, and in verse 20, we share together that the anger of the Lord shall not return. In other words, God's plan and purpose is going to be fulfilled, and Israel's unbelief and idolatry is going to cause Nebuchadnezzar to be God's rod of spanking against Jerusalem, and he's going to burn and level the city. So now, so the anger of the Lord, the wrath of God, shall not return until how long? Until he has performed all that he has said would happen. So all that God has said would happen if they didn't turn to God is going to happen. They don't believe that at all. They don't even imagine that. On the surface at all. Down in their gut they may, but not on the surface. Now, so therefore in verse 20, God, till he had performed, the middle of the verse, until he had performed his thoughts, his plans, his meditations, his purpose, until he has performed his thoughts, that which he conceives and thinks, of his heart. God has a wonderful plan and program. His mercy, remember, in the book of Exodus 20, his mercy is extended to thousands with an S at the end. Thousands of generations. Not just to a generation. Thousands of them. That comes up to where we are. Now, therefore, his thoughts of his heart, verse 20, of his heart, formed until he has executed, performed the thoughts of his heart. And in the later days, coming up, this is in the plural, the people in Jerusalem, the people in Judah, you shall consider it. And that verb to consider, you will cause. You yourself are going to cause. It's reflexive. They're going to understand in their own mind, in their own heart, they are going to consider, perceive, understand. They're going to be able to mark by themselves, all in their little old head and heart, they're going to be able to say, I see it, I understand it, I perceive it, I got it. Now, and the next word, that's the verb. Then you go to the next word, which is a noun, which is the same root. So now when you read it, as you read, you shall consider it, you yourself will do so perfectly. You're going to do it all by your lonesome, and you're going to do it perfectly. That means with understanding. And we shared, you're going to understand, I want you to understand with understanding. People can say, I understand. I understand. I want you to say that but I want you to have another word, because you can say that easily, I understand that, but you really don't when push comes to shove. I want you to understand it with understanding, so you know what you're looking at. You can do a lot of things and understand them, but you want to be able to understand with understanding. God, Jeremiah is telling all the wonderful things that God would do, what's going to happen in the bad way to Jerusalem. We hear you, we understand what he said. We heard him, we know what he said. Do you understand what he said? Ah, that's different. Do you really understand with understanding? And you'll find, unfortunately, more than not, I won't even give you a percentage, people do not understand with understanding. So be careful when someone says, I understand. You want to double check that, triple check it, count to 1,000. Do you understand with understanding what I just said, what you just read? Oh, yeah, I do. No, you don't. If you do that, then you would be able to run with this, but you can't run with it because you don't really understand it. Therefore, that's the whole mood and movement of verse 20. You're going to understand perfectly. When are you going to understand perfectly? When the city is in smoke and in rubble and the temple's in ruin, and you're going to understand then? You're going to truly understand, aren't you? You'd have to bow your head. At that time, boy, are we going to understand, because the reality's there. Wow, that's right. Now, having said that, that's the whole wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. And we've spent a little time, and there's a whole lot here. We'll just try to do a little more to get it. Now, having said that little bit with understanding, I want you to go over with me for a moment, over to the book of Ephesians and chapter 5. And a book, I'm interested now, God, to what measure do you want a person to understand your word and what you're doing and why you do it? To what measure do you want us to truly, humans, to understand? God must, no one wants to understand. So does that mean God doesn't want understanding? On the contrary, he rebukes the world and believers for not understanding. Have I not told you? Do you not understand? Are you so ignorant still? All those words over and over. Now, Ephesians 5, just to pick up the flavor of his word for us believers, verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, that means very carefully, accurately, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, buying up the time, because the days are evil. They're not. It isn't coming out. If you're looking for paradise coming up, you better look again. Get your head out of the sand. There's no paradise. There's nowhere in the world. I don't know any politically, educationally, socially, morally, mentally. Where do you want to go? Look at any way you want. Open any book you want. And you read it. Wow. Wow. Now, so here in chapter 5 and verse 17. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. I want you to know my will. That's what I want. I want you to know why. Don't you, if you were in the army or something, try to imagine it if you can. You're in the army, you're out there in the trenches on the beach, and don't you want to know? Do you just get out of the barge or whatever, get out and run out there and lay in the sand, or hide behind a rock or something? And is that what you do? Wouldn't you want to know what you're doing? Who's on the other side of the hill? What kind of weapons have they got? What kind of weapons have we got behind us coming in? Am I all alone out here? What is the command? I want to understand. I'm on the beach. Don't you want to understand? Have you ever been in that place? and you don't know what you're doing. You want to know what you're doing. That's where the commander, et cetera, the general or whatever, they give you understanding of the plan. The enemy's out there. This is their weaponry. This is what you're going to face. This is how it's going to be. Part A, part B, part C. And you have an understanding. So you don't mind being behind the rock in the sand as the bullets are flying around you. Because you understand. A is going to lead to B. I'm A. Some B's coming behind me. You want to understand. God, do you want us to understand the battle we're in between right and wrong, good and bad, evil? Sure. Yeah, this is going to be better. Now, I want to understand. And God, what are you telling us? I want you to understand, knowing that the days are evil, buying up the time, this is the will of the Lord for you. Now, having said that a little bit, let's exercise it in the light of Jeremiah's Old Testament thinking. Over, if you would please, over to the book of Hosea. And in the book of Hosea, and in chapter 13, 13 go to 14. Chapter 14, picking up please, in verse 9. The end of Hosea, the last statement, wonderful. Hosea, think if you just read Hosea, Hosea's there looking at the Assyrian captivity coming in to take the 10 tribes in Israel up in the north. And Hosea is there writing, telling them this is going to happen to the 10 tribes in the north by the Assyrian army. And he tells them. And then, 14 chapters and verse 9. 14 and verse 9. Who is wise, and he shall understand these things? Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right and just, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. We ought to know that God. You're using Hosea as your penman to tell the people, but are they listening? No. But you make a statement. If you were wise, you would understand and know what's happening, and know why it's happening. But they didn't. They just didn't do it. Now, having said that, and we look at Isaiah. Back 100 years ago, with the Assyria, back in the days of Hosea, Isaiah, and then you go to Jeremiah with Babylon and Jerusalem, as we're looking at in Jeremiah, and you got Jeremiah, and you got Ezekiel, and you got Daniel, and you got Nahum, and you got Habakkuk, and you got Zephaniah. Those are all prophets looking down at Babylon. Looking at Jerusalem and Babylon coming. That's what they're doing. All there. Now, having said that, pick up a mood now. God is telling him, Jeremiah, do you understand what happened? Jeremiah says, I sure do. I don't like what's going to happen, but it has to happen. But the people don't want to hear that. So, all you guys, Daniel, Ezekiel, and all you guys, you're hearing it, and you know it, absolutely. So God, I want to pick up a flavor so that we can copy not Jerusalem and the crowd. They just don't want to believe the realities of things. But we want to pick up the mood of those that are understanding. I don't want to talk to the back on the beach. Over behind this other rock is one of my buddies over here behind the other rock. And I look at him and the bullets are flying and stuff. And I asked my buddy, I said, do you know what's going on? He said, no, no, no. But my buddy on the other side, I turned to him, he's behind another rock. We're all rock hiders. And we hide behind a rock over here, and we hide behind the rock. And I say, do you know what's happening? He said, yeah, we're part A. The tanks are coming. The guns are going to be firing on the beach up ahead of us. So he tells us, he knows what's going on. Boy, is it good to talk to somebody that knows what's going on, isn't it? That truly understands. And our word we're looking at, by the way, perfect your understanding. That is the word used in 1 Chronicles of the children of Issachar. And remember the children, I think it's of Issachar, and the children of Israel, whatever, the 200 of them, they all had, they came to David. Now, David, what did they bring to you, those 200 men, chiefs? He brought to them understanding. They had understanding of the times in which they lived. They knew what was going on, and they knew why it was going on. Boy, was that a big thing. David, are those 200 gentlemen going to be of help? Absolutely. When we're behind our rocks, make sure you talk to one of them. They know what's going on. Wow, you got the idea. Now, over if you would please to Daniel. And in Daniel, just give you some things you just know. What do you know? Well, Daniel chapter 1, verse 4, 3 and 4 actually, but in verse 3 and 4, I'll read verse 4. Children in whom, this is what they're looking for. Nebuchadnezzar's looking for these people. And so when he goes to Babylon, he's going to find them. He's going to find the good guys. And you don't want to kill them. Children in whom was no blemish, was well favored, and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and to whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. So the Chaldeans wanted to have the Jewish smart people get educated in the Chaldean language, the Chaldean culture, in order to be able to go and use them, have assets. And that's what conquering does if they're smart. Now, having said that, that's so. Here's what are you looking for, the world? The world's looking for people with understanding. Aren't they? If you're going, I think if you get, if you're doing, the world's looking, schools are looking, they see someone that's really there, got it? Man, they spot them. Because the world's out here looking for people that know what they're doing, that have the skill, the research, the understanding. Wow. The world's looking for it. So that's people. The world wants people that understand. Well, God wants them in his people. God does. He said, the world's going to get them. I want them. Now, over if you would, over to, well, you're in Daniel. Over to Daniel chapter, well, while you're here, Daniel chapter 1, verse 17. Daniel 1 and 17, and as for these four children, Daniel, Meshach, and Abednego and that. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. So Daniel was already on the right page with God. These other three were following close behind. And so God, they were looking, and and they were picked to follow. And God, Nebuchadnezzar was not wrong. Nebuchadnezzar, you picked the right people, and God isn't going to disappoint you. Not Daniel's going to disappoint you. God isn't going to disappoint you. You're looking for the Jewish people to bring the knowledge. The average person going back in the captivity, nothing. But when you get these four guys and others, like Ezekiel, you're going to find, boy, are they going to bring to you some understanding that is very needful. The times of the Gentiles are going to rise up, and you want to know why, and you want to know how long. Now, therefore, over to chapter 9. So here's Daniel, just in the natural, but Daniel also in the spiritual. So, Daniel chapter 9, picking up please, if I can. Picking up in verse 2, you'll get it. Daniel, remember now, Daniel's looking to God, going, he's getting all kinds of information, all kinds of understanding, chapter 7, chapter 8, etc. So here we come to Daniel chapter 9, and verse 2. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood, there's your little verb, I understood, how? By books. The number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. Jerusalem will lay in ruins for 70 years before we go back. Now, where did you learn that, Daniel? I read Jeremiah, just like you have in your hand. I read Jeremiah. You and I have it? Well, he read it. And he believed it. He read it. And what did he do? He's sitting there, and he's in he's taken captive. He's in a very high position because of his God's blessing on him before Darius, etc. Wow. So God, here we are looking at Jeremiah, and you're reading the book. What are we reading? We're reading all of Jeremiah, and we turn the pages to Malachi, and we turn the pages to Ephesians, and we go all the way to Revelation. That he didn't have that. You do. You have it. I have it. What are we doing with it? Well, I'll tell you what Daniel did. He believed it and wanted to read it and understand how to understand the times. And that's what he did. And, by the way, hang on to that because this is part of the whole thing. People, why don't people have understanding? They're going all over the place. Out there, Dreamers pops in my mind, but not in the local context, national. Dreamers. They're dreaming. This isn't real. They just aren't paying attention. Now God, Daniel chapter 9, Daniel's reading and understanding, and therefore when you come to chapter 9, verse 22. And he, the angel, 9 and 22, and he informed me and talked with me and said, Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. Now, A, Daniel wanted to understand what God said in his word. B, God hears, understands, and wants people to understand. Daniel wants to understand. He looks to God for understanding. And Daniel, God, are you going to help Daniel understand? He said, I am. What did you want from Daniel? I want him to want to understand. I want to understand. That's what you want, isn't it? Wow. Sure it is. Now, I didn't want to, back, I was raised in a Methodist church and all that stuff. You know, I didn't want to just sit through the ritual. I want to understand. What does it say? I kept reading. I said, what does this mean? God, what are you after? I just want to understand. That's all I want to do. That's what I'm doing to you. I don't give you just six verses, I hope. I'm trying to help you understand things. Otherwise, you're just getting information. You can have information up to here on you. What's a bunch of information going to do for you? You want to have understanding. You want to know how to put it to work, don't you? You want to walk out the door. I got it. More and more, piece by piece, and the pieces are coming together. And that's what you want. That's what this is all about, for understanding. Wow. Now, so here, verse 22, and he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. That's what you want. That's right. Verse 23, at the beginning of thy supplication, when you prayed, which we skipped all that. At the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment came forth, so I am come to show thee that thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. And he's going to give them the 70 weeks. Where do you think you get all that wonderful prophecy, chapter 9, of the 490 years and 483 years, and then the crucifixion, and then the grace period, and then 7 years of tribulation? Where do you get all that? Daniel got it. God said it. And God gave it to him. That's how he got it. He wanted to understand. God wants him to understand. God doesn't want you to be stupid. You don't get a prize for being stupid or being ignorant. You know that. You don't get a big prize to say, yay, three, he got 4 points. He doesn't understand anything. No, you need to understand. Now, so therefore, in the light of that understanding, chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing, and he had understanding of the vision. Now, Daniel, could you help the king? Absolutely. Absolutely. How did you do that? Because I looked at the scriptures, and I honored God. I listened to what God said. I go by what God said. That's what you do, back to using illustration of your battlefield. We were on the ship. We get off the ship. We go to the beach. And the commander gives us the information and how it's going to go. Well, we didn't daydream during then. We were paying attention. What do we need to know? What do I need to know before I get off this? That's what you want to know. Well, God, here's Daniel, and Daniel wanted to know and understand. And here's the heart of Daniel, and God honors it. Chapter 10, verse 11. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand, there's your little word, understand the verb, the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Verse 12. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from this first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, and thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. I've come to help you understand. And I got waylaid. I'll read verse 3 for interest. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me. That's the bad guy. 21 days. But to Michael, one of the chief princes, Michael came to help me. He's the big angel, the head angel. Came to help me. And Michael came, one of the chief princes, came to help me. And I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now, I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen, but it ain't going to happen yet, but it's going to happen. So be of good cheer. You have that in mind. You just sit, do what you're supposed to do, look to me, wait on me, etc. Now, having said that little bit, keeping that in mind, over to Daniel chapter 8. Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12, and picking up, please, in verse 8. And you'll pick up the flavor of it. I'm just moving it to get you to see the movement. Daniel chapter 12, verse 8. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And here's all of that wonderful unfolding of all of the truths of the Antichrist and the rising of the Antiochus Epiphanes in the middle and all of that stuff and the goats and everything else. And wow! And you're getting all the explanation. That's right. Now, so when you come now to Daniel, and Daniel says, boy, I need some help in all of this. And he gets it. Now, when you come over to chapter 12, and picking up in verse 10. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, put on trial to the proof. But the wicked shall do wickedly. They'll do worse and worse. And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. So when all of this is happening in the tribulation, interestingly enough, in the tribulation, do you understand why the world is getting shaken? Do you understand what the judgments that are taking place? Do you understand the battle and the mood and the movement? Do you understand? No. We don't want to understand. God said it. During the tribulation, the wicked, you'd think they'd understand and turn around. but they won't. But the people that are believing in the tribulation, they will understand. They will understand. But the people that should know better aren't going to know. You say, how can that be? Easy. Think of secular history. All you got to do is move through history. And you have it. Wow. But people don't understand. It just happens. Wars and rumors of wars, etc. A lot of, think of the First World War, Second World War, and all the maneuvering between Russia and England and all of that stuff. Wow. And they had a lot of assumptions about this and about that. Boy, it never happened, did it? Never happened. Wow. Now, having said that a little bit, apply it if I can a little. So here we are looking, God. And Daniel, do you want understanding? Absolutely, I do. So God, you want us to understand. I do. I want you to understand the reality. When I tell you something, it's going to be. And Daniel, when we come to the end of chapter 12, Daniel, you're going to slide all the way over in your mind to the book of Revelation. And Revelation is going to fill in the pieces. Daniel, remember now, Daniel, we'll pick it up right here. Pick it up here if I can. Verse 9, 12 and 9. He said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. And you want to know some more information about who the goat is and who the sheep are and everything else? Not yet. You finished, you wrote what you did. I gave you the information. You wrote it down. You understand what you do. Be content until I add some more pieces. And that's where the book of Revelation comes in and picks up all the loose ends and brings them together. Wow. So that book of Revelation. Now, having said that little bit, keeping that in mind, over to Job. And we aren't going to get very far, but a little, just a little, to see it. Now, Daniel's looking at it from a national, global. I'm going to now bring it down to just you and me, personal. Now we're going to look at the same truths, the same movement, only personal. Personal. Where so? In the wonderful person of Job. Now, watch. Job chapter 1, if I can, and verse 22. Remember, Job has all of these different things going on all at once, more or less. And in Job 1, 22, and in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. He didn't charge God. He never complained. He never said, God, why? Why did you do that? No, he didn't. God, you're mean. You don't understand. I don't deserve this. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say that. No. He ain't going to do it. No, sorry. God, do you understand what you're doing? Uh-huh. What's the trouble? I need to understand what you're doing. Jeremiah, you understand? I do. But the people don't understand. Daniel, do you understand? Yes, but the people don't understand. God, so we want to understand, and Job wants to understand. So he isn't going to get God, he's just missing understanding. So therefore, chapter 2, and picking up in verse 10. And chapter 2, verse 10, remember he says to his wife, after all of the plague, he's covered with disease from head to toe, etc. And verse 9, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speak. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil, trouble? And in all this, did Job sin not with his lips? Job, you didn't sin, no. And now, Job, you get in trouble, but you aren't going to curse God. No, I don't blame God. What are you going to, you aren't going to, God, you're leaving God alone, and you're looking at your lot. and the terrible conditions that his family lost and everything. Chapter 3, verse 1. After this, opened Job his mouth and cursed God and cursed his day. He cursed the day he was born. He would not curse God. No, sir. No. If I wasn't born, I wouldn't have to go through this. But Job, you were born. That's right. And that's what he's looking at. I wish I wasn't born. He's working through it, but ain't going to get God. No, sir. No, sir. No way to get God. No, no, no. Chapter 23. And in chapter 23, picking up a thought, if I may. In chapter 23, picking up in verse 5. Remember now, Job's going through the exercise. And 23, and in verse 5. I would know the words which he would answer me, and understand what he would say unto me. So, Job, what do you want? There's your little word, understanding. Job, what are you after? I want to understand God. I wish I wasn't born, but I am born, and all this stuff is here. And God, I'm not telling you can't do let all this happen to me. You can certainly do that. But I just want to understand. Therefore, that we just read it, verse 5. Sliding over. Verse 6. Will he plead against me with his great power? No. But he would put his strength in me. So God, Job, you're looking for that. I am. So sliding over to verse 8. Verse 8. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. Backward, in other words, I look at the the pile of waste I'm on, and I look at my body, I look at my family, my wife, the only one I got left, and my animals are gone, my money's gone, everything's gone. Wow. I look at all that, and I go forward, I can't go, where am I going to go? I have nowhere to go. I don't want to leave the pile of waste, the dunghill that's helping my boils and stuff. So I can't go forward, I can't go backwards. No. But, I cannot perceive him. Do you see the word perceive? There's your word understand. I do not understand him. Verse 8. I cannot perceive him. I don't understand him. That's my problem. My problem isn't about what's happening to me. I need to understand why. I need to understand. And therefore, verse 9, as you know, wonderful. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, and I cannot see him. God, what? Makes it so I can understand. And God is going to do so in a most wonderful way. But God has to educate us and get us in the right place that we can understand. Otherwise, you're giving information. You're giving mathematical information that you aren't ready for. And it can all be in the blackboard in a wonderful, simple writing. But you aren't ready for it. It's too early for you. You aren't ready. Now, Job, you aren't ready to understand. You gotta go through some more of it. I do. That's right. Therefore, on the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, and I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, put me on trial, proof, I shall come forth as gold. So you know that, Job. God, are you interested in ruining, stepping on us and crushing us? No. I want to lift you up. That's what people have, you know, years ago when people used to be more God conscious in a good way. They were more conscious. I really believe that. And I know that, in fact. And the mission call and to serve God, and remember all the service of God given. Remember those were the different days. You're going to serve God with all your heart. They come forward. Wow. When do you see that anymore? Wow. So now we're looking to God, and in the process, they're going to serve and look to God. in doing so. And in doing so, they thought, well, if the argument was, if you really, really give God your heart and want God's will, He's going to send you. Where do you hate the most to go? What do you hate to eat? I hate eating raw monkey. He's going to send you to the jungle and eat raw monkey. Wow. That's the thought. God's going to get you. Wrong, 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 wrong. You won't find that. Only us humans do that. God doesn't do that. God's going to do the thing that most fits you and you're qualified for and that He qualifies you for, and that's what you can do. And you go do it in a wonderful way. And that's why they didn't go. I know it is. We dealt with them, people, all kinds. That's what I don't want to do that. Whatever God's will is, it's the bestest, the mostest, the highest. You can't get better. You want God's will. Now, therefore, in chapter 24, He knoweth the thought that I take and come forth as go. And then, let me just quickly just get it. My foot hath held His steps, His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of His lips. No, I'm hanging right. I'm not going away. God, I'm going to work it through. I don't know. I'll put some more medicine on and work it through. I have esteemed Thy words, the words of His mouth, more than my necessary food. But He is of one mind, and who can turn Him? And what His soul desireth, even that He doeth. So God, You're going to do what You're going to do. That's right. And I'm trying to help you understand that. I'm trying to help you. When I say something, and something's going to be, it's going to be. Now, don't tell me it isn't going to be. It is going to be. And catch up with me. I'm not going to change anything. Why would I write it down? Why would I put all that in writing in front of you if it isn't going to be? God, You don't waste Your time for anybody. No. Therefore, more than my necessary food. Verse 13. But He is of one mind, and who can turn Him? And what His soul desireth, that He doeth. For He performeth the thing that is appointed for me. And many such things are with Him. He's just the wonderful, think of all the different things we do over and over and over again to be conformed to His image, to be changed. Change from one degree to another, to go through the trial and just growing up inside and learning and becoming changed in a wonderful way. Wow. Now, therefore, He appointed for me, and many such things are with me. Verse 15, therefore, I am troubled at His presence when I consider, there's your word, understand, when I consider, I think, where I consider, I am afraid of Him, for God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me. He causes me to have, well, God, what's next? What's next? And I think Jeremiah would like to get out of things, but he isn't. Jeremiah would like to get relieved and let someone else finish the job. But no, you already worked through this, and now you're going to live through The population, the priests, the prophets, the leadership are going to hate you, want to kill you, put you in prison. They're going to do all of that. You want to do those things in prison? They're going to do that. Finish it. And Jeremiah is just strengthened. For what? Strengthened. Not to get out of anything, but to live through it. You don't strengthen us to sneak out of it. You strengthen us to go on and finish the job. Wow. Therefore, He maketh my heart soft, and my Almighty troubleth me, because I was cut off, not cut off before the darkness, neither hath He covered the darkness from my face. God, why don't You break? Give me another break. Give me a little space. God said, no, you don't need space. No, I'm not going to do that. You want me to? I'm going to finish my job. Yeah, I want you to understand. But I don't want to understand. Then I'll wait until you do. And in the meantime, I hope I don't have to break your arm and have you get the plague and have other things happen to you in your own dumb moves and moods. I'm going to do this. I'm going to get this work. This will work. This will work. Boy, count to 5,000. Count to 50,000 before you do that. No, 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 God. There's no replacing. Right now we're in his presence. You couldn't replace him for nothing, for no one, right now. And all those little snowflakes, see them out there? Little snowflakes, yeah, little, this one. You know, the colder it is, the colder it is, the snow, I know you're real interested in this. The colder it is, the snowflakes are smaller. When it gets near 30, the snowflakes are bigger, you see. So when it's colder, you have small snowflakes. When it gets a little warmer, you have bigger snowflakes, you see. And there's zillions of them. There is no number for them. I read articles on it recently, just to read up on it. There is no. 18 with thousands of zeros after it. You couldn't figure it out. And they're all different. Wonderfully, wonderfully, wonderfully designed. You try doing that with anything and make it 100 times over different. Wow.